This is De Bello Gallico, Book 6, Chapter 14. So start with Druides, Consuerunt. The Druids have been accustomed, ab esse, to be absent, ab ello, from war. Neque, nor, pendunt tributa, do they pay taxes, una cum reliquis, together with the others. Habent, they have, they possess, vocationem, a release, militiae, from military service, immutatim, omnium quererum, and an exemption of all matters, meaning an exemption from all public duties. Excitati tantis premiis, inspired by such great rewards. Multi conveniunt, many assemble, in disciplinam, for instruction, sua sponte, by their own free will. A parentibus propinquisque mittuntur, and they are sent by parents and relatives. Ibi, there. Adiscere dicuntur, they are said, to memorize, to learn by heart, magnum numerum, versum, a large number of verses. Itaque, and so. Non nulli permanent, some remain in disciplina, in the training or under instruction, annos vicinos, for 20 years. Neque fas esse estimant, nor do they consider it right, mandare ea literis, to entrust these things to letters, cum, although, fere in reliquis rebus, in almost all other matters, publicis privatis querationibus, both in public and private accounts, graecis literis utantur, they use Greek letters. Mihi videntur, they seem to me, instituisi, to have established id, this. De duabus causis, for two reasons. Quod neque, because they neither velint, wish, disciplina, the instruction, efferi, to be brought out, to be divulged in vulgum among the common people, neque eos, nor do they wish those qui discunt, who are learning, literis confiscos, having trusted in letters, minus studere memoriae, to be less enthusiastic for memory, so meaning to be less diligent in memorizing. Quod fere plerisque accidit, because it generally happens to the great part, ut praesidio literarum, that with the dependence on writing, with the protection of the letters, remittant, they relax their diligence in perdiscendo, in learning thoroughly, and ac memorem, and their memory. So they relax kind of accuracy in memory in mastering the material. In primus hoc persuadere, so in premis, among the first things, they wish to persuade this, so this thing. Non interire animas, that souls do not perish. Sed transire, but they travel, post-mortem, after death, ab aliis ad alios, from some people to other people. Atque hoc, and by this thing, maxime especially, ad virtutum excitare puntant, they believe to be inspired to bravery. Metu neglectu mortis, with the fear of death having been disregarded. Then you have to go all the way to the very end where you find your verb, disputant et juventuti tradunt. So they discuss and impart to the youth multa, many things, praeterea, moreover. And then you've got the list of things that they talk about. De desideribus atque eorum motu, concerning the stars and their movement. De magnitudine mundi acterarum, concerning the size of the world and of the lands. De natura rerum, concerning the nature of things. De vi ac potestate, concerning the power and the strength, or the power and the majesty. De orum immortalium, of the immortal gods. All right, so we were talking about this in class when we went over this before, but you've got the teaching of the immortality and the transmigration, and that's the fundamental principle for who the Gauls are. We talked about that. That makes them fearless. Think about that. Do you think those who don't believe in the immortality of the soul can be as brave and self-sacrificing as the others? I think we can also put this as a connection back to Aeneas in the Aeneid. He had religious authority, but is it similar to or different from the religious authority of a druid? Would it be fair to characterize Aeneas as a priest? On one hand, Caesar was a politician. He was a general. He was a priest. So if you compare Aeneas to Caesar in these three respects, does he seem similar or different from Caesar? So those are the things that we'll talk about next time in class.